You are listening to the Heart of Tradition podcast. A simple question on magnesium pills versus topical magnesium. So the first thing on this subject is to stay very, very close to what is magnesium? How is it made? So whenever we compare two things, we have to try to figure out what is the core of those things first, like the source, the purity. What's the core? And so that's the most important feature, actually. The other stuff that a lot of people like to hear when you talk about the differences, like, you know, local, and you can use it externally on cramps, and, you know, you can go directly through the ectoderm, which is where the nerves are, instead of the mesoderm, which is where the mouth is. And you also have a filter. There's a lot of things that you can say. But the most important feature is the most overlooked, which is the molecule itself. So the molecule in the pills, 99.999% of pills, nobody questions what the molecule is. They all talk about glycinate and citrate and threonate and all this stuff, all these processes that were done to the molecule. But no one talks about the molecule itself, which is the magnesium. And where did that come from? Typically some form of chloride or, you know, some other form of carbonate or whatever it was. And then it was put through a bunch of chemicals and solvents to extract it from cheap strata. So if you take chalk and you try to extract magnesium out of it, some form, not chalk itself, but some sort of white, you know, stone that's in the earth, and you try to use some of this stone, like, let's say, for example, gypsum or carnallite or whatever, and you try to pull this stuff out of it, then you have to separate it from other things like potassium, heavy metals, bromide, mercury, all sorts of stuff that can be in there, sulfate. And so you separate this stuff out. And so then you have your magnesium alone, and then you go and glycinate it using, you know, acidity and other processes and associating it with fats and sugars and the processes that it took to make those subproducts and then combine them, right? Which no one ever asked about. There's just a lot of industry behind things. People never ask, you know, it'll say something like dry spraying, and you'll be like, oh, dry spraying, that sounds pretty cool. And then you find out dry spraying use nitrogen and, you know, gas. And then there's usually a slurry, and sometimes they use like, you know, different types of powders they throw in there, and then they extract it back out. A lot of times hexane can be used, as well for defatting things and then adding them in and, you know, all this stuff. So we don't ask these questions. And so we end up getting stuff that is bad for the body and gone through a lot of processes, and then we buy it up. So that's the first thing, is the molecule itself. And so the topical, at least what we're talking about, are topical. We're not talking about all these other cheap versions of this topical stuff, but the Zecstein inside with the logo, glass bottles, one ingredient, Heart of Traditions, yes. So if we're comparing these, we're going to stay on that page. So ours comes from a clear stone that has nothing added to it. It's in nature. It took 250 million years to become clear with the 6H2O at the end of it, which we call molecular purity. That's why we're allowed to say the pure source on earth, because of that molecular purity. The stone is called Bishafit. God made it, not man. God purified it, not man. So it's been purified by nature for 250 million years. So that's what you want. You want something that has been, you know, naturally in its natural state, not transformed. And then we just add local spring water, which comes from the source too, from the region. And then that dissolves, that stone naturally dissolves. And there's nothing else you have to do to it. It saturates at an exact amount pretty much every time in nature. And we sell that full strength as it is. So that's the first thing, is the molecule. The second is the app, I guess you could say, let's see, what in the order, the quality, of course, is the first thing. But the second order, I guess you could say the application maybe would be the secondary feature. So the application is important because how you use it, right? So you're using this through your skin. Your skin and your nerves especially are not in the mesoderm. They're in the ectoderm where the skin is. So why do we skip through the ectoderm to get, we go through the mesoderm to get to the ectoderm, and like, should we use magnesium for sleep or whatever? So this is a more direct route to go straight to the nerves. So the nerves change over time, 7 years even, they change, well, maybe 4 years, 3 years, less, it's less slow than, you know, cartilage and bone. That that can take up to 6 or 7 years, depending on the person, to replace each cell in the body. So the goal in using the topical for us is to replace every single cell in your body over a 7 year period and change the whole structure of your body. So at the core level, not like you're going to be a totally different person, right? But at the core level of structure, yes. And so that nerve is going to change over time. So you go directly to it. Now, of course, people say, I take pills. I'm fine. It works. It helps me sleep. I'm sure it does. And it also helps with constipation. People use it for all sorts of stuff. We're not against pills. What we're saying is we're deficient. It's a huge deficiency that took 200 years to put itself in place because we abandoned the waters in those 200 years and we increased sugar intake, you know, among other things. Those are two of the big ones. And so, which deplete magnesium. I mean, a lot of things deplete magnesium, from drugs to the pill to, you know, medicines and coffee and stress and, you know, computers and 4G, 5G, whatever, you know, electromagnetic waves, all that stuff. So realizing this, you know, that's, we're trying to find, you know, a way of doing this, which can move as fast as we need and also get an abundant amount of it. That's the key to the topical approach and the oceanic view of the human being, of like this enormous surface area that we get. You know, why do you think women like all these surfers? Look at their bodies. They look good because the magnesium shapes them. The water shapes them. They have a certain tonus to them because they're the last of our society that's still out in those waters. And so now what you could say for the abundance spectrum is you need that skin. That's the key. You need to be able to get it through there. So one, and that's one. Two is it's a filter. So the filter brings it in. Your kidneys filter, right? In the end, at the end, the kidneys will filter topical or internal, but they get a secondary filter in front, right? The skin. So you get a first filtration, then you get it down the kidney, and now it's already been microfiltered. So you have a perfect delivery system, and you can take high dosage by surface area. You can use your whole body to dose. So this is a different thought form, a different way of thinking. And so it shouldn't be, it is a little bit apples and oranges. But why do the pills work? Because we're deficient. Do they help structure long-term to be as strong because of the cheap molecule, the cheap core, and even the way that 30% of people can't take them due to IBS and other conditions, and that they're laxative because you can't get a high enough dose without triggering that laxative system, which the kidney is saying, this doesn't work for me. So we have to be listening to the body and understanding that, yes, the pills work in a pinch method. They were developed during the war, so they're going to work in a pinch method. But when you're not in that method, go for it. And all the glycinate and citrate and all these other things that they have selling us, your body makes all of these in the human body. They don't tell you that. The threonate, the citrate, the glycinate, these are all forms of magnesium in the human body. The R form, the dextrogyr. What they're creating is a type of leveragyr product that they create outside the body and sell it back to you, which isn't bad. It's good for surgery. There's conditions where it's needed. I get it. But what we're trying to figure out is if we can find a global way of taking chloride, which is the main magnesium in the sea, and reconnecting with that historical way, and we take that through the skin, then from the acidic nature of the first layer of the skin to the fat nature, what would you call that? The lipidic layer of the epiderm and the second layer of fat. So, or mesoderm, whatever. But, you know, the second layer, the fat layer, is where it becomes a glycinate. So it comes through the body, the magnesium chloride. Your body turns it into a citrate. then your body turns it into a glycinate, and your body will also turn it into a threonate. It will also gum through the blood-brain barrier. There's a lot of myths around that. They market that in order to sell their products, but the vascular ganglia that we know connects to the blood-brain barrier does transport all sorts of minerals in conjunction with the blood. It all depends on pH. There's so many factors to make a study sound that it's impossible. You know, do it under a certain pH, do this, do that, and you can, you know, build your study. So, but the truth is the body is selectively permeable. That's the key. That's the key that science doesn't want. They want it white or black so they can market around it and get their stuff sold to people. But the right way to think is that the body is selectively permeable and it takes in what it needs. And so it can come through the brain barrier. It can even come through the head if you take topical magnesium on the scalp. Like, and so, and we know that because we get a lot of people who feel the stinging the most on the head, of course, because there's more follicles, and that's how the magnesium gets in. So use this for aluminum detox. Use this for heavy metal detox and a lot of things. This chloride, magnesium chloride, is very well known for destroying metals, taking them apart, corroding them in the body, and bringing them out. So we would use magnesium chloride to clean the water supply back in the day, and then it would flush. They would flush it. And this is how the Romans would clean a lot of their baths. They would also use magnesium chloride kind of treatments and waters of magnesia. There was all these treatments the Spartans would use. They're realizing this now. And a lot of that, even from salt production, you create mag chloride. So they had this, and you create a lot of it actually when you mine salt, you create a sizable amount of magnesium chloride. So they were doing something with it, trust me. And from water supply on down. So they also had clay, you know, which is high in magnesium, and it has aluminum, but it also has all that silica in it, which keeps the aluminum from being absorbed. That's the other key to this mystery, is silica, but in a good form. So, you know, they also had high magnesium waters back then, at least in Magnesia in Greece, where they set this culture up. And they used a stone called dolomite, which is 50% magnesium. So the whole thing was set up to create a supplement in a way. And we got all we changed everything. So we might have to go back, right? So, they followed, the Greeks were just copying nature. You take volcanic properties of stone, thermal properties, and you combine that with limestone and different things, and you end up having mag water, you know? And so they just copy and pasted what they got from their amazing baths that they knew in nature, like Loutraki and other baths around Europe, like Bath England, Spa Belgium, all these terms that we call bath and spa, they actually are cities. So this is an old thing. And so that's the second thing, is the application. You can go local. You can use it also for, from tooth pain, cavities, anywhere on the body, hair, skin conditions, detox. It informs the nerve. Unlike CBD, magnesium has structure. So you see, it does change it over time. And a lot of people find that boring to have to wait 6 or 7 years. But it's not boring because it's helping you all along the way in little things. But it also helps you long term. And the cool thing is, it probably costs about $1 a week to use for 7 years, because you take a lot of it in the first year and then you take a little bit of it in the subsequent years. So if you add it all up, it's about $1 a day. $1 a week, sorry, which is nothing. It costs about $3 a week the first year and about $1 a week after that. So get with it and get the right stuff. And so we always sell in glass. That's the other thing, is keeping plastics out. You don't know how to, you say, oh, a pill, there's no plastics in pills. Well, you don't know how everything was created. You don't know how things were extracted. You don't know what slurry was used and what, you know, solvent was used. And so you never know what makes it back into there. And we also know that it's not just fats and things like that are endocrine disruptors. Metals are endocrine disruptors. So you get all these little nubs of bromine and mercury and little nubs of things that are in the product that have been extracted out or whatever. So we want to get the right stuff from the beginning. So those are the two things: application, the molecule itself, also the glass, things like that. And what else could we say? Also, you go around the gut. You know, a lot of people have gut conditions and issues. You go around the gut. And so this is a way to bring what we call more free energy into the system, where you're not having to work, rob Peter to pay Paul, to break down that stone, to get something that you need from it, and then lose something else. So yes, you could get better sleep from your mag pills. You could also, you could change to a whole vegetarian diet and have an amazing health for a few months or years, because you just went from all animal foods to full-on plants. Right. And so plants are historically was how we get medicine. Medicine comes from plants in a lot of ways. So what are they? They're circulatory. They speed up circulation. So, yeah, if you go straight into an all vegetarian diet, you just speed up all this circulation. All of a sudden, you might get an amazing result from that. And that doesn't mean that that's the diet of choice, because over time, you may realize you're starting to get sick again in a different way, and that the animals need to heal you in this respect. So, from deficiency, from structure, from all these other areas that you're missing now, and certain vitamins and things which they have had to work through to break down the plants for you. And so that's an energy differential that you need to stay healthy, is you're using their capacity to break that stuff down instead of you having to break it all down every time. So there's some stupid ways of thinking and rainbow and unicorn way of thinking with all this, where, one can help for a while, but doesn't mean it's stable. Magnesium pills can help for a while, but doesn't mean that we won't become coffee addicts long term, because we haven't been able to face up to the fact that our kidneys have been lost some life due to breaking down all this stone. So we don't think about that. We get our deficiency covered, and then we just drink more coffee. And so as soon as the coffee runs out on this planet, we're going to have a whole world of kidney, not medical pathology level, but kidney life, from all the stone and all the stuff and all the pills and everything else. So we have to find ways to do this that are actually long-term amazing strategies, which the skin is one. It's the big long-term oceanic historical 5,000-year strategy to do this without harming yourself and, strangely, get a high enough dose to pull out of the deficiency. Now, the pills also create a piecemeal reality, where you piecemeal your deficiency and you never fully get abundant. You have to waste magnesium in order to detoxify heavy metals and plastics and all this other stuff from the body. It's supposed to be a detoxifier in many ways. That's why we get cramps. And that's why magnesium helps cramps. What is it doing? Your whole muscle system is a detoxification system. We don't see the body that way. And there's a lot of people that will try to tell you detox is a fake kind of new age myth. But your whole body is always trying to push this stuff out through the muscles and pushing these acids and pushing these toxins and endocrine disruptors and, glycated products that cause aging and all these twisted up proteins and things, soy based, et cetera. So all this stuff is trying to come out. Your body's always permanently trying to get it out, but it gets stuck, and the pathways get closed. And then the deficiencies also keep us from being able to get this stuff out. I used to tell people that butter was a medicine. It's not just a food. It helps through the bile. It helps pull the toxins out of the body. There's a lot of things it does, even mechanically. So there's a lot of things like clay and other mechanics that we have to learn about to get these things out. We've lost a whole touch. The big pharma world we've moved into, including the pill paradigm. I have to put that there, because the pill paradigm is a perfect box of you'll never get out of your deficiency enough to get abundant enough to detox. And therefore, it's a perfect big pharma paradigm, because it's some little box that you can never escape, right? So you got to get out of the box by going back through history, skipping around all these people and going back into history and how the Greeks and Romans did this. How were we able to pull all this off? Even for mental health, they had lithium baths. That didn't harm the person's thyroid or kidney or anything. They figured out a better way of doing all this stuff, Now they're realizing that even lithium is a deficiency for most people, not the doses for, the mental health people, but small doses. Yeah, we're missing a lot of stuff. So getting back to that wisdom is very important. And so that's the debate on pills versus, and you can use both of them together. It's okay. The body will eliminate what's over. It's just finding a long-term better strategy going forward that doesn't rob Peter to pay Paul with the kidneys and everything else. And so, yeah, that's it. Those are the two biggest, or three or four biggest points, I guess you could say, about why there's a big difference between the two. Yes, there is bad topicals, tons of it, sure. You know, most of the age of truth that we're in, or untruth, you could call it the age of untruth, is an age where we have to sift and discern. It's the serenity prayer, you know, the wisdom to know the difference. And so discernment is key here. And so we have to be able to, you know, see that probably in a given grocery store or a given range of products or a given range of this or Amazon or whatever, probably only about 1% of that stuff's going to be good. I probably eat only about 1% of stuff that's in the grocery store. And it's pretty much, that's the age of truth right there, is you have to sift down to that 1% and find the true stuff, which is strangely, I mean, think about it. If we would have had done eggs right and done meat right and done milk right, raw milk, you know, ooh, raw milk, are you crazy? Right? If we would have done all these things right, then the grocery store would be very small. It'd be a very small thing with like amazing eggs, amazing milk, high iodine milk, because we'd learn how to do all this stuff right. Not this cheap stuff that steals iodine, but milk that actually gives it. Yeah. It steals it when it doesn't have enough of it. See, that's how it works. It's the same with deficiencies. If we eat something that's deficient in something full on, then it also steals from inside of us the over that we have of that same element. So if we're, you know, if we eat a bunch of vitamin C without any of the cofactors that normally come with it, in natural kind of products, powders and things that are natural, then, you know, natural powders, not the stuff that we make, which we isolate everything. So like Camu Camu or whatever you can find. I mean, vitamin C's in raw milk too. I mean, there's a lot of places that you can find this that are not standard. And so a lot of this, you know, when we find this raw stuff, like it has more vitamins in it. It has more, so it doesn't steal the ones that we have. And so by taking these things, we actually make ourselves deficient we keep taking stuff. There we go. By taking stuff, we make ourselves deficient. We become more deficient the more we eat, in a sense, because we're missing all these other pieces. So if you stare at a chicken and all you see is a chicken breast and that's all you eat, well, you need to stare at the rest of that chicken and go, wait, all the glycine in the skin, all the stuff in the head, all those things that I'm not eating, like, and I'm not saying you need to eat chicken heads and stuff. I'm just saying, well, you can turn it into broth, whatever. But I'm just saying, everything I'm not eating or putting to use, I'm going to be lacking in that. And the more I eat it, the more I'm going to be lacking in those other things. So it's a way of seeing things in a holistic way. And so anyway, just trying to help people see this stuff about discernment, because when we start looking at, like I said, the magnesium space and any other space, you're going to have 99% of the stuff is typical. And then the 1% is true. So you got to find that everywhere you go.